Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
I survived escargot, Val.
You ate escargot at the French restaurant?
For the first time and not for the last, let me tell you.
Really? Was it good?
The way they prepared it was fantastic. And the reason why I said I survived is because I remember escargot was a central focal point of one of those. You remember that television show, A Thousand Ways to Die?
No, but okay.
There was a television show called, called A Thousand and One Ways to Die or whatever. And every episode featured all these really outrageous instances that people have gotten themselves killed. And one of the ways was a guy wanted to prepare. He wanted to be really romantic and prepare escargot for his girlfriend or wife or something like that. And he went out and actually harvested the snails himself. Ooh. And he prepared them in a way that was wrong. And if you don't know what you're doing with the snails, you can expose yourself to some kind of really nasty parasites. And I think everybody who ate the snails got a brain disease and died.
You know, we got scolded the other day on Twitter for
what?
Talking about personal things and...
Oh, just ignore those people.
Yeah, but
ignore,
I just...
Ignore them.
I know. You just let me finish. I know, but I think it's funny because I'm going to share another personal story and I don't really care if people are mad about it. There is a brain-eating amoeba, Frank. Did you ever hear about this?
Is it called liberalism?
I love you. Well, that's a separate one. That one's not the rare kind. The one that I'm talking about is the rare kind. And it lives in lakes, like freshwater lakes. And even some people have gotten it from like pools. And it goes when you like ingest water up your nose or something, it crawls into your brain and then it eats your brain and people die. And I won't let my kids swim in lakes, even though the chances of contracting this amoeba are like slim.
Yeah.
I just won't let them in lakes.
There's just so many things that can go wrong with the human. We're as resilient as we are, we're so susceptible to just bad luck.
Yeah.
It's just really crazy. All right. Well, that's enough of our brain eating stories, I guess.
So I want to start the show. We have a lot to cover today, tons of clips and things to talk about. But the first thing, obviously, I think it would be stupid if we didn't talk about the fact that I was suspended from Twitter yesterday for 12 damn hours.
I saw this and I was really, it was remarkable, that you can just,
tweet 12 something
hours
snarky.
Because of abortion.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, we just lost power. Can you hear me? Ugh. Ugh. What is happening here? What was that? Keep going. Sorry.
Well, you know, it's... then again, you look at the trends in the media right now. Just last week, I covered cannibalism in a big way. Because you can see where the mindset is here. So if you want to talk about abortion and the population... There's definitely a concerted effort here to get people to think that we have an environmental issue going on that is directly related to population growth, and that we need to be able to curb the amount of children we have to save the environment. Only thing is that we're not having kids.
No,
we're not the ones having children. And now they're saying that some intellectuals are saying that we need to reconsider the taboo of cannibalism because it might be more environmentally friendly to consume human meat instead of animal meat. And in the meantime, while they're trying to destigmatize now cannibalism, even though they've already tried to destigmatize other things like pedophilia, they are also suggesting that people move their diets to things that are a little bit more insect-based. So there's a lot. It goes much deeper than that, but you can just see what's going on here, and it's nonsensical because even people like Elon Musk, who sat down with that Jack Ma guy, they even both agreed that population booms are not the problem. We're actually looking at a population collapse. Now they don't go anywhere near identifying why that is.
Well, we could do a couple things right off the top of our heads.
Yeah, well, they don't understand. They don't want to go anywhere near it. You know, this is Alyssa Milano's feminism has destroyed Western civilization. It has convinced Western civilization to kill itself off for it's altruistic
crazy
means.
When you say it like that, too.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. It was a really, really deceptive pitch. It's a sales pitch, and we took it. And there's many things on top of that. Nutritionally, there's other things that are going on, but abortion ties into that. You need to be able to completely shift your way, your perspective on something, the butchery that is going on here, to be able to embrace the world we are now living in and think that we've actually progressed towards something that's fashionable or noble. You have to.
Nobody is talking about this on television because, you know, obviously we know Planned Parenthood is a major funding machine or mechanism for the left, major. And they're not talking. I honestly believe if they were to report on this story, because it's factual, they're admitting these things in court now. If they were to report on this story on the television news, America would revolt. I don't think that most of America would be okay with this. I really don't.
And when you say funding, yeah. It is more so. Everybody should know that this. Well, many people already do that. The funding mechanism that Planned Parenthood is more of a money laundering yes. system.
Yep.
Because obviously we know now that they have their ways of making money, and we know that there is outside of the genetic. The genetic engineering and the selling of parts. There's something else going on there. They're definitely providing food for someone. And then on top of all that, they receive taxpayer dollars that is then funneled into strictly left-wing causes. So if you take all that out of there, which is just a laundering scheme from the taxpayers who many of whom do not approve of what the company does, right into the hands of left-wing politicians. If you take all that out, they still have a pretty great base of people who would donate to it. And then it's just donations. So it really is just a transfer of wealth scheme.
It's the whole thing just makes me sick. Like I don't know how else to explain it. Like it eats at me inside. Like just thinking about this and the people, these hypocritical a-holes like her, who then have the nerve after talking about how after her wanton, you know, disregard for human life. It just makes me sick. She tweets out this tweet where she talks about this woman who allegedly was this illegal immigrant who was 9 months pregnant and crossing the border, and was apparently the doctors over here stopped her labor and sent her back.
Good.
And the story in and of itself is misleading. 8.5 months pregnant and experiencing contractions, which is early. An El Salvadoran woman crossed the Rio Grande to be apprehended by Border Patrol, and she was not allowed to stay. They took her to the hospital. Well, there's some free service for you. They gave her medication to stop the contractions, and then, according to the woman and her lawyer, she was almost immediately sent back to Mexico. Okay, sucks to be you, but she tweets it out, Milano, and says, disgraceful, as if she gives a crap about pregnant women.
She doesn't. So what she's saying disgraceful about is that this pregnant woman worked very hard at timing her birth perfectly, and we took away her free meal ticket to 80 years worth of Social Security.
Exactly.
That's what she said. She put in all of that work waiting for the right time to crawl across the border.
Yeah, so she could have an anchor baby.
There is, and we have to speak in these very blunt terms now because it's all out in the open, okay? So it's not a matter of whether or not this stuff happens and whether or not this is the motivation for it. There is no crises in Central. We have violence, homegrown violence here as well. I mean, what's going to happen? We're going to take everybody from around the world so that all that is left in their countries are the gang members and the cartels? That's it?
I even said, like, if there was ever a case for refugees, it would be the Bahamas. Like, if those people came here and claimed refugee status, I'd actually be okay with it. Their country is literally flattened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but yeah, and so, but everybody else are going to claim political corruption and political violence wherever the hell they are. Meanwhile, we are bubbling. We have masked bandits in every major city protesting free speech right now and willing to crack open skulls to do it. You think that we are a bastion of liberal, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
We're not. What are we going to do? We've got big problems ourselves. I was reading a, let me see if I have it in my quite frankly folder over here. Major universities. No, hold on.
Yeah.
Where the hell is it? It was pretty much talking about college students, how they, when they write papers for their classes, whether it be thesis or anything else, they have to write it liberally. They have to hide what they're really feeling, how they really have analyzed the situation. And they have to, if they want to pass, if they want to get a good grade and move on out of there, they feel pressure to write papers as liberals.
It's gross.
Yeah, it is. So you want to save people when homegrown Americans are trying to hide their true thoughts and feelings on things because the structure over here is getting more and more stiff. If we have a structure, if we have a political climate that is becoming that stiff and that rigid, but those rigid, stiff people somehow have found a reason to fight for the concept of open borders and taking everybody in, there has got to be something there that you need to reject immediately. If those people who don't want you speaking at the same time don't want you criticizing non-citizens, then they have something to gain from it, and you already know you can't trust them.
Great point. Like, my tweet to her, just to get back to that real quick, was basically, you could always have your friends just get rid of it after it's born. That's all. And Carpe Donctum tweeted for me and said, you know, I've been suspended or whatever. And real question to Jack, if this is considered hateful conduct, and it is literally what the Democrats advocate for in terms of abortion, why are they, like, you know, what is the deal here? Is it hateful or is it accepted? Because what I said is what they do, literally what they do. So yeah. Jack thinks it's hateful when I say it, but she can go on and advocate for it everywhere. There's video clips and people talking about it and presidential candidates talking about it. And, you know, it's all good. It's all good when everyone else talks about it. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's just one issue that I just cannot wrap my head around it destroys me.
Yeah, but you see here, what you're getting into here is a situation where, first of all, the subject matter is a non-citizen, so already they are more noble than anybody else. The second thing here is that 8.5 months pregnant, and the woman in question has not shown in any way, shape, or form that she actually wants to get rid of the child. Okay, so remember that choice also means that it includes a woman's choice to define the baby as whatever the hell it is. In this case, the magical wand waving left has accepted in some way that the baby is now a baby because the mother wants it. Yep. If the mother doesn't want it, it's not a baby.
Right.
Okay, so this where you probably crossed the line, Tracy, is for just being absolute about what life is. They're not absolutist about life. Everything is subjective, even what is living and breathing.
Stupid me.
Everything's subjective. So for you to say that is to go against the mother's definition of whatever is inside of her womb, being human and alive. Okay. Another mother might have just seen it as a clump of cells, reproductive slavery, but not her.
No, she wanted it because it was a meal ticket.
Right. Right. You can't, you cross the line.
Sorry about that. I should have known better. Moving on. I have a bunch of different clips to go over with you. First of all, Mark Sanford is going to run for president in the Republican primary. He says that it's because of our financial stability.
Okay.
As I've watched the Democrat debates, I hear no discussion or recognition of what's occurring. Donald Trump has ruled out action on the very things that drive spending. Debate is being canceled on the Republican side, though we should have a conversation about it. No one is leading in Washington or speaking about our financial predicament. He's the one who flew to Argentina to cheat on his wife. You remember?
No.
He flew to Argentina to cheat on his wife with some dancer and then was reported missing because nobody knew where he was.
Wait. I kind of remember this situation. Same guy. Now, what is he talking about with finance? Is he talking about ending the Federal Reserve?
He hasn't said a word about that. I'm sure there is no plan, and this is just his excuse to get his hat into the ring and raise some profile.
What he can do is everybody can do is, especially if you are in a red state. But this is where the big thing, and I want to bring this up maybe with Chris Ann Hall tonight, but the big thing you got to do is, once again, in your state, the states can cure this. If the states want to disassociate themselves from the collapse of the federal government and the currency, they got to be able to do this. They got to be able to start saying, we don't want subsidies anymore. We want to cut ourselves off from everything and just to reclaim all of their decision-making abilities that have been taken from them illegally by the federal government. Anybody who comes into the federal level right now and tries to do this, it's really going to be tough. I mean, we all need teaching moments. We all need to start hearing new things and maybe get educated a little bit more. Maybe massage the idea that there are actions that could be taken and should be taken. But man, oh man, if this guy would just stop with the nonsense that he's going to run against Trump and actually get somewhere, that's a waste of money right there. You want to talk about fiscal irresponsibility. This is a waste of money. Why don't you bring this nonsense, or not really nonsense, bring this talk in a meaningful way to your home state and see what you can do there. That's what I say at this point.
I want more people to start. I mean, we're saying it every show now, the importance of the local aspect of things. People really need to start acting on that stuff.
Yeah.
Super important. I mean, you want to take control, you want to change things, that's where you have to start. So Mark Sanford is running, thinking of running for president. And now we're talking about how several states, including South Carolina, are canceling their Republican primaries this year, which is not something new. This is something that gets done often. Nevada, I believe, is doing it as well, because when you have a candidate with 90 somewhat percent approval rating within the party, there's no real reason to go through another nominating process for that candidate and spend the $200,000 it costs to run those elections in the state, because that's almost what it costs to run the election. So the RNC is choosing in certain states not to run their primaries. It may be all of them by the end, but it's not something that's never happened before. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's propping this up as some weird thing. It happened when George Bush ran again. It's happened several times. This isn't new. It's just never talked about like it is now, because everybody's after, getting this president. So now everything is some conspiracy, including the weather.
Well, Richard Barris just said this 12 minutes ago. Richard Barris said this: Mark Sanford lost his way, quote unquote, lost his way, hiking the Appalachian Trail. He was so lost, he ended up in Buenos Aires, Argentina, with a woman with whom he was having an extramarital affair. The thing about Donald Trump, he never pretended to be something he's not. That goes a long way with Americans. That said, debt and deficits are only a problem for Republicans when Democrats are in power. Americans hate that kind of hypocrisy. But they hated it first under George W. Bush. The Bush Republican Party destroyed itself, spent money like drunks. Why do they think they can fix it? Good, good, good questions, Richard.
Rich is good.
Yeah, he is.
He really is.
We got him back.
Yeah, we should. We really should, especially as, the season runs on. Before we jump into some clips from Ratcliffe and Nunes and a bunch of other folks, Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom had this secret role in stifling the Me Too movement surrounding Weinstein. And there's this new book out, and the New York Times wrote an article about some of the things in this book. And it seems like, this book is going to be something else. the paragraphs here, they say that Gloria Allred actually, they have all these emails and conversations that have never been released before. And Allred reached out to Weinstein and said that she would help to plant stories in the media that paint Rose McGowan as becoming increasingly unhinged, so that when someone Googles her, that's what pops up, and she's not taken as credible in her allegations against Weinstein. So it talks about how these two lawyers negotiate settlements with these folks, take 40% of that, keep them under lock and key on these non-disclosure agreements where they're not allowed to speak about anything. One woman in here from Miramax was under one of those for 20 years and nearly killed herself because of it. She's finally speaking out now. And then they also represent the abuser and get money from them. These two women are disgusting.
Let me tell you something. I have been covering Gloria and her daughter Lisa for quite some time now. Now, Gloria and her daughter Lisa are out there, and they are currently, and this is why I brought them up in the last couple of weeks, they are representing quite a few of the Epstein victims now.
Mm.
And that's why I said, especially since Lisa Bloom, she was the one that was handling hundreds of thousands of dollars that was donated by Clinton-friendly people, David Brock in particular, Media Matters. They raised over $750,000 so Lisa Bloom can go out there and try to find and create stories revolving around Donald Trump's sexual accusers in the lead up to the 2016 election.
And that Jane Doe lawsuit. No, they did. Weren't they behind that Jane Doe lawsuit where they put him in the lawsuit with Epstein and said that it was that Trump raped this Jane Doe right before the election, and then the suit was dismissed with prejudice?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But they were trying. That was only just one. They were looking for many. Mm. They were looking for anybody, but they couldn't get anybody to come forward and help them out because there's nothing out there.
Yeah.
Either way, Lisa Bloom, Gloria Allred, these are the same people. So when you have them representing Epstein victims now, you're telling me that they're not gatekeeping? Okay. You think that with them at the helm, with them representing any portion of those Epstein victims, you think how deep you think that dig is going to go?
You know what's crazy about that you're saying that? I came across a video last night of a woman who claims to be a victim of Epstein's and some other very powerful people. And you know, when you come across these, you always have to be really careful. But she said, and I'm not saying that I believe her. I'm not there yet. I have to investigate. The Twitter feed looks a little crazy. I'm just not there. But one of the things that she said was that the real victims of this are being trampled all over by the people that are being represented by the Blooms of the world. She said real victims are not getting justice here.
No, when I saw them walking around locked arms with Epstein victims, I knew that perhaps we do get truth and disclosure and justice. It's not going to be through Lisa Bloom and Mama Gloria, though, because they have been gatekeeping for the left for decades. There is no way they're going to allow this to lead back to all of their friends.
What is there going to be? Just some big, huge payoff and everybody shuts their mouth, right? I mean, that's
I don't know. I mean, so there's got some patsies have to be flushed. There's got to be, I mean, and especially now that Epstein is dead, or at least his piece has been removed from the chessboard, you can throw a lot more responsibility on his shoulders as him, you know, acting in a deceptive manner, maybe being trying to pass him off as a puppet master instead of the puppet. You know, I don't know. I just don't know. But you can't trust these women.
I completely agree. Completely agree. Ugh. So there's that. That story's really good. I'll try to remember to link it in the show notes because I've been having a problem remembering to put everything in there. And then people are like, what? The next thing we're going to do is we're going to listen to a bunch of different clips from different shows. And I don't know this person personally, but I want to, he was just retweeted by the president, AKA_RealDirty on Twitter, who I've been following for a while now, who tweets out clips of these interviews that are done on television and shows that are really beneficial because there's a summary and then it's like threads of different interviews and they do a summary. He does a summary where discusses what the context is and then puts the clip underneath in the 2-minute, 20-second form. And it's super helpful because sometimes you're not on tele, you know, you're not watching Maria Bartiromo's show and here he is with the clips for you. So here is a clip of Ratcliffe on her show yesterday talking about Andrew McCabe being indicted. And we're going to listen to this real quick. First, I have to raise the volume on this thing, and off we go.
So where does that stand, though? Because we know that the IG has referred criminal action against Andrew McCabe, and he's just got a job on, you know, another network. I mean, he's going about, you know, his life. Jim Comey, no charges so far. So what are you expecting in terms of this decision that the DOJ needs to make in terms of a potential indictment of Andrew McCabe?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people, a lot of interest in that. And I think that's going to be a decision that has to be made very quickly. To remind your viewers, it was last year that the inspector general found that Deputy Director McCabe authorized the disclosure of sensitive investigative information to a reporter. And then, more importantly, repeatedly lied about it to investigators. So as your viewers also know, the Department of Justice has, through the special counsel, recently made a cottage industry out of charging people like General Flynn and George Papadopoulos for lying to investigators. Here you have the inspector general stating that Andrew McCabe did that multiple times and the magic words did so intentionally and knowingly. I think the Department of Justice is going to have to indict Andy McCabe simply because to do otherwise would be to admit that there are separate standards for the people doing the same thing for the same conduct.
So just to be clear, you think the DOJ will indict Andrew McCabe?
Yeah, I've had this discussion with a lot of really good prosecutors who, and there is a difference of opinion, but I don't know how you can't indict him when he is engaged in the same conduct that other people have recently been.
That's the basic breakdown of what he said. Now he's not saying that Andrew McCabe is going to be indicted, right? I mean, you agree with me there?
Yeah.
He's just saying he'd better be because otherwise, and again, there's a massive difference between McCabe and Comey. Massive. Andrew McCabe lied under oath consistently to the Office of Inspector General, who were investigating him for a leak while trying to pin said leak on a New York field office and his staff. That's not what, you know, you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, he mentions Flynn, and tomorrow is the hearing. And there's been a lot of talk about this over the past couple of days because in the docket, Judge Sullivan had a conference with the defense attorneys, so Sidney Powell, etc. And they talked about how Powell couldn't get clearance. And the judge said, I'm not going to address the clearance issue until after we address the exculpatory issue. And he cited a case that he's going to be using as the standard for whether or not the government needs to produce the exculpatory evidence. And Technofog and Huber and Margot Cleveland all seem to think that that means bad news for the Flynn team because that standard is very high. You know, what is exculpatory? That standard is very high on behalf of the, you know, what the government should have to produce. In other words, it's not like, oh, well, if this may be or if we think it is, please give it to us. It must be. And my question was, who's making the decision about what is and what isn't? Because the government is clearly not able to do that as per Powell. And I believe her. It's absolutely right. So a lot of people were saying, like, that's bad news. And I look at it a little bit differently. I think it's actually good news because I think ultimately the judge will decide that the evidence that is being withheld is exculpatory. And because the higher standard was used, it will be a bigger indictment on the government. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So they
I mean, the possibility is definitely the possibility definitely exists.
For what?
That's all I can, for everything you, for these course, these turns of events.
Yeah.
To happen. I mean, that's really what all of my observations are boiling down to now is does the possibility exist? Because I don't, who the hell can actually really say this will anything will definitely happen at this point.
No one can. No one can. That hearing's tomorrow, and that'll be a bombshell one. I really wished I could get there, but I can't. I would love to be there for that. And, you know, they're going to talk about this, and this is the hearing to talk about the motion that was filed by Sidney Powell that we went over on the show when you were on Labor Day. And I really am interested to be a fly on the wall to see what the heck happens in that courtroom, because the judge has already demanded that these folks come in for ethics training in the courtroom. So I can't foresee Sullivan taking a sympathetic tack for the prosecution. And the defense was the only one in this conference with the judge the other day. So Sidney Powell said something to the effect of, I wouldn't write anything until after Tuesday. I don't know what that means, if it's good, if it's bad. But the reason why I brought this up is because he mentions Flynn, who didn't commit perjury because he wasn't under oath when he talked to these folks. So Brian did an article about Flynn and how the agent struck, who was responsible for determining that he lied and you know what I mean? He's actually guilty of the same thing he's accusing someone else of, and that's being mistruthful or distruthful or untruthful, I should say. So how could the person who's been lying to court time and time again ultimately be the one to accuse someone else of lying? Just that in and of itself makes these things ridiculous. However, somebody pointed out to Brian, and it's easily forgotten, that McCabe had called Flynn and said, oh, no, you don't need to worry about the lawyers or anything like that, and basically entrapped him. He wasn't under oath. He wasn't having a conversation. You know what I mean? Much, much looser. And here he is 3 years later. So if they don't charge Andrew McCabe, who lied to the government watchdog while placed under oath, we have a big problem. I have long said that the first person to grab an indictment would be McCabe. That's the thing I've said for years.
If they don't move on him, then the chances that anybody of even greater stature is going to be touched is very slim.
I would be absolutely, I would have a very, very, very hard time. We're going to listen to a few more clips, like where Devin Nunes comes in and talks about Comey and him being indicted and stuff like that, or lack of him being indicted. And it's easy for me to say, okay, yes, I agree with that. I would have a really hard time agreeing with the choice to not indict Andrew McCabe. I would not be able to live with that. It's blatant that he lied several times. So there's another clip here we've got. This one is Doug Collins actually talking about, what was this, the one I wanted? No, this was just the thread. Hold on. Doug Collins talking about FISA abuse. I wanted to show you guys. Actually, it was this one. It was about Obama's Inspector General Horowitz criminally referring the FBI director and the deputy attorney, the deputy FBI director here.
Right now, to preview, is Republican Congressman from Texas, John Ratcliffe. He's a member of the House Judiciary, Intel, and Homeland Security Committees.
Oh,
he's
Ratcliffe
also a former
again.
Federal prosecutor. Congressman, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks so much for being here.
Always good to be with you, Maria.
We also got the IG report on Jim Comey. Your reaction to that, and what should we expect from this upcoming FISA IG report?
Well, the first IG report that you mentioned was just a sliver, how Jim Comey handled the memos that he created of his conversations with President Trump, some of which contained classified information. And of course, the Inspector General found that Jim Comey mishandled that, disclosed it without authorization. Much like Hillary Clinton, though, despite mishandling classified information, he was not charged. I know that there's been a lot of focus about why that is not the case, but to me, the most important takeaway of that first part was that the Inspector General found that Jim Comey let his personal desire for a specific outcome against Donald Trump to influence his official actions. The Inspector General, an Obama-appointed Inspector General, not a partisan Republican, found that Jim Comey had targeted Donald Trump even before their first meeting. And so, you know, I think that's an important takeaway as we look to the second FISA abuse part of the Inspector General's report. I think people should feel good about the fact that you have an inspector general who has criminally referred now both the director of the FBI and the deputy director of the FBI, Jim Comey and Andy McCabe, and that's the persons that is looking at the issues of FISA abuse.
Yeah,
It's true. Think about the actually what that means. That doesn't happen very often, that an IG refers the former director of the FBI and the deputy director of the FBI for criminal charges. It's pretty unprecedented.
Mm. Yeah.
Then we had the Andrew McCabe one. He talks about the DNI as well. He talks about how a lot of folks were nervous when he was nominated for it, because Ratcliffe, remember, he took his hat out of the ring. He said he just didn't have enough support. And so he didn't think that he'd be good in the position. I think he would have been fantastic in the position, to be quite honest.
What does support mean?
Do you want to listen to that clip?
Yeah, I want to know what is that? Did he have not
have enough?
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I guess we'll figure it out right now.
I didn't mean to do that. It just happened on its own.
No, that's all good.
All right, hold on.
Democrats are trying to, you know, take control of Texas, your state. This is an acute issue because the Dems are lining up to control Texas, because if you control Texas, you control the electoral map. We're going to show that right now. Are you worried about that, given the fact that people like, you know, Bill Flores was in a safe seat, others are leaving, and this toxicity that you mentioned? Look, let's talk about who threw you under the bus. You know, your colleagues in the Senate, right? Was it Mitch McConnell and Richard Burr? Did they go against you so you couldn't get that job?
Well, Maria, I made the decision to withdraw from consideration because, you know, if your political future comes down to the vote of 100 U.S. senators and you start out day one down 47-0 because every Democrat is against you, my concern was there's not a lot of margin for error there. And some of the most important senators whose support that I needed, you know, I went to in July and was told that they couldn't sit down and meet with me until September. So, you know, I took that as a sign that maybe they weren't as committed to my confirmation as the president was, and I just decided I was better served in the position that I am, where I can ask difficult right. questions of people like the special counsel and Jim Comey under oath and shape the investigation that way.
Yeah, so just to be clear, Richard Burr and Mitch McConnell were not there with you because you were too tough on Mueller, because you were doing your job.
Well, there were a number of senators that, you know, whose support I would have liked that I didn't get early on. And, you know, again, I think we need to focus on to your right. question about, you know, what's at stake there, Maria, is,
yep.
you know, the priority.
That's basically it. And that's telling in and of itself, no?
Yeah. And just I hate the U.S. Senate.
He would have gone in there like a bat out of hell and fixed this stuff and declassified what needed to be declassified and gotten his arms around the intelligence community, and the Republican swamp in the Senate stopped it from happening.
Yeah, the thing that really gets me upset is just the whole idea, the notion, that feeling that the United States Senate is really just a country club. And
yeah.
membership is exclusive, and it's a country club, and everybody there makes very good money on and off the books. And even though they have a charter and they're supposed to exist for a specific purpose, they're just a very tight knit community of detached, unethical pieces of. They're just, I can't stand it. And this is why I was praying that Kentucky was going to get rid of Mitch McConnell years ago when Matt Bevin was running. And I think Matt Bevin became the governor instead or whatnot. But I was praying.
Mitch McConnell is like the Nancy Pelosi of the right.
Oh, God, I can't. Every once in a while in the last couple of years, he stood up and he had a little bit of a spine because he's being forced to do that. But these people are no one that should retain any kind of fan clubs or anything like that. Oh, God. And Burr on the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody on the Senate Intelligence Committee should be voted out.
We got to get new people in. We've got to break this cycle somehow.
Well, Kentucky can do a lot. Kentucky can do a lot. They send Rand Paul to the Senate every 6 years.
Yeah.
Why can't you just say, all right, you know what, this time around, sorry, Mitch. What the hell is it? Come on. If you're in a state where you know that seat is going to be safely not liberal, then why on earth can't you be really stringent with a person's voting record, with their debate record? What are they standing by? What are they backing down from? Get bold. If the seat is somewhat safe and you have majorities in place, get bold. Why is everybody playing safe with these turkey gobbler neck people like Mitch McConnell?
I have a bunch more stuff, but I want to stick with the clips for now, and then we'll circle back around because some of the things are different topics. But I just wanted to play a little bit of Devin Nunes on Judge Jeanine's show on Saturday. He says some interesting stuff about his lawsuit, and I got to scroll to a minute and 20 seconds.
I believe, you know, getting Comey on leaking or mishandling classified information, although important, is not as important as the overall larger conspiracy, how we got led down this whole idea of a Russia hoax, which we now know from the IG report he's definitely involved in.
Well, you know, I just think that consequences are important, and I think that the American people are interested in consequences because, you know what, the justice shouldn't depend on what level you are in society, not to suggest that there are levels. Now, I want to move on from Jim Comey, and I want to talk about you in particular. You have made a decision to find...
I'm going to pause that because she blabbers on for gosh knows how long. And he starts talking about it here, his lawsuit.
Expect to get out of this, and what is the essence of your complaint?
Well, what people have to understand out there is that, you know, we're not going to be able to fight these fights just on the legislative battlefield. The left for decades has been using the courts. They've corrupted the courts. So we really need the third branch of government to step up and start to do their job. One of the ways that we can do this is by bringing cases to the courts. And so, you know, I'm filing against Fusion GPS. There's no question. You know, what were they trying to do at the end of the day? We were investigating them. And at the same time, they were smearing me, slandering me, and trying to intimidate me, doing things that, you know, costing public schools a lot of money. These are all things that we need to prove in court. And I think that we'll get a trial date before Christmas. I think the American people will finally begin to heal once some of these operations are shut down.
So he's talking about how he's suing Fusion GPS, another liberal foundation, and this other woman, Liz Mayer. Because you remember we've been talking about how I couldn't find this lawsuit online anywhere?
Which, I forget.
Originally, he was going to sue this one woman for defamation. And he went on the news and said he was suing and all that. And I could never get the case on Pacer. It just wasn't there. And everyone was talking about it. And I was like, it's not on Pacer. It was never filed. It doesn't have a case number. And I even reached out to his office to ask for comment, too, because I was really interested in what was going on with this. When you do a press tour about a lawsuit and then the lawsuit's not filed, it's just very weird. Now I understand why they held on to it, because they expanded. They stopped with the defamation because as a public figure, it's really hard to prove. And so they moved to RICO and money laundering, and they're doing it that way. Mm. And it's filed, and she's included, this woman who's supposedly a Republican, not whatever. So there was that. And now this whole weather thing has really got me with this map and the Alabama, and how CNN is just literally obsessed with this. Do you know that Brian Stelter, Frank, just quoted from Orwell as a defense of CNN?
Well, Brian Stelter is he's one of those amoebas that you were talking about. I hate to reduce this because I know that no matter what, everybody still has to live with their machinations over there. But I have almost completely shut out the Sharpie Alabama thing from my radar.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. No. Well, if it wasn't this, they would have found something else to attach themselves to. They're parasites and they need a host badly. And like we've said many times on this show and others, it's all about clock management. Everything that they cry about, that they twist their own nipples about, they are going to, they eat up a week. They eat up 14 days. They eat up a month. They're just eating time. That's all.
What's funny about that is, you know that I've played on this show several times, Something Wicked's memes and commercials and stuff. The Real Men of Genius series that he's done on the Budweiser parody or whatever. And CNN, he's been tweeting a lot. He got retweeted by President Trump twice now. And one of the things that was retweeted by President Trump yesterday was, it was President Trump sitting next to the map with the drawn on cone with a laser pointer and a cat sitting in front of the map, following the laser pointer around with its paw. Basically, that Donald Trump is stringing the media along whatever direction he wants, and they just follow him. So it could be a dual thing going on here. I mean, you know, Trump could have let this go, but he keeps coming back. You know, not for nothing, he was right. And I think that for someone like him, when you know you're right, is not going to let these people make you out to be a liar. And I don't blame him. And they're going back and forth. They're still going back and forth. Stelter has made over 100 tweets about this map of the weather. I'm going to play this because I just want to, I have to. And I'm sorry to do this to you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hold on. Where'd it go? Here we go. 45 seconds, I tell myself.
Here he comes.
It's, of course, a reference to George Orwell's 1984.
Oh,
it's a
wow.
book that came to mind this week as Trump tried to convince people that his faulty that Dorian forecast mind.
He
was
has
right.
So many books come to his mind. I just pull from all these books, and this is the one that came to mind this week.
He's a library.
Yeah, no. These people, they're the depth of their knowledge. I you can just see it whenever Brian Stelter is done with his long day of labor at the network, he goes back home to his den and he sits there by the fire reading books into the twilight hours of the morning. That's it. He just reads books like he's Marcus Aurelius. That's it. That's what he's storing in that fat head of his information.
No, it's all the amoeba in there.
Yeah. I have so much information in my brain because I read so many books.
Can we? Here we go.
This whole embarrassing episode has me thinking a lot about language. As NBC's Al Roker said, where will this end? Where will this end? Trump has even politicized the weather report. So where will this end? This daily attempt to deny reality, destroy trust in media, all while manipulating the levers of government to make a lie retroactively true? Because that's what's going on here.
Why do they all sound the same? He sounds exactly like frickin' Maddow.
Because they were all trained by the same drama actor in high school.
Ugh.
This is a play. All right. I mean, the only thing I'm waiting for here, the cat is acting. What the hell are you doing right now?
What?
Cat is going crazy over here. Lila's nuts.
Doing what?
I don't know. Maybe she's hunting a bug or a flying insect or something that I can't see, but she's going nuts right now. Either way, these people, the only thing that's different from a grammar school Christmas play and CNN is that the actors aren't passing the microphone from one to another. They all have it attached to their faces now. So that's the only thing different here, because their delivery is just as cheesy. The plot is just as cheesy. It's all a waste of time.
The Chiron says, where will this end? And in my head, I'm thinking, when you stop freaking talking about it, that's when it will end.
That's it.
When you stop talking about it every single day, we will have an end to this.
When will this end?
When will it end? When will it
end?
Oh,
my God. Does he really want it to end?
No.
No, he doesn't. He's in the middle of it. He feels good. He's right there. I mean, he's weathering the storm. Brian Stelter's the anchor. I mean, he weighs as much as an anchor. But he can keep the Queen Mary in place if he wanted to. But, you know, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Just looking at him standing there next to this sign, that this green screen thing that says Reliable Sources. That's the name of his show. And every time I'm like, you can't write this. It's right. That good. You couldn't write this. If somebody were to sit down to pen some kind of a fiction or nonfiction novel to document what's been happening in this country for the past several years, nobody would buy it. It would be too unbelievable. We're in an upside down world right now. I don't know if I'm just old enough to recognize it now or if it's always been I don't know. But I say to myself every day, the level of insanity here is impossible to even comprehend.
Yeah, it was slow movement. It was slow movement for a long time because now I go back and I look at media or interviews with people, interviews with people like John Lennon. And things that I used to be like, yeah, that's reasonable about the world, about people, about society, about loosening up and being open-minded and all that stuff. And then when you're looking at that in a vacuum from, statements made by people like John Lennon, who's clearly a communist, from the late 1960s, early 1970s, and then you have the depth of vision to be alive and conscious in 2019 and to see where that kind of thinking led and how that kind of thinking could be just very, very easily managed and chill and I don't know. Well, and then all of a sudden now it's just there's no subtlety to anything. I think that's just what we lost. We lost subtlety, and it's just a mad dash at this point.
Perfect compliment to that is what they've done. I believe it was Ringo Starr who came out about Brexit. They're calling him now a former Beatle or whatever. Okay. Like, he said, we voted for this. It should happen. And that's it. That's bad. We're going to end with this because it's a little bit more lighthearted, and I think that it's a good way to end a Monday show. Did you hear anything about this Kamala Harris? This is how the left eats their own. This is how identity politics and their cancel culture and everything else is going to come back to bite them in the butt, because normal everyday people are not like this. They're not sitting there thinking that when some idiot who picks up a microphone at a town hall event calls Trump mentally retarded, that they're actually talking about mentally retarded people in a negative way. It's a phrase of speech that people use to indicate that someone is acting like an idiot, but it's not necessarily meant to impugn actual mentally retarded people, if that makes sense. I know I don't have to explain this, but apparently I do. Even Harris herself didn't realize that it would be now frowned upon for her to joke around about this with someone and say they had an excellent point, because she's not even well-versed enough on extreme left progressivism, no matter how hard she tries to pretend she is, to know that that's a faux pas. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw it. And retardation is the act of, slowing something down, or there's a delay. If you're talking about mental retardation, you're talking about intellectual delays and social problems. So when you apply that to a person that is holding high office, you are pretty much saying that the policies and the ideas they have are retarded, and they're obviously that public policies are going to trickle down into the society at large, because those are the things that compel behavior from society. So, I mean, obviously you want to take jabs at the president. You want to take jabs at the policy. So to call it the one thing or another is just overall.
I don't have an issue with what he said. He has a right to feel that way.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. I would say the same thing about Obama or her. So, he's entitled to his opinion. He's entitled to say it. Nobody got outraged on the right because he said it. They got outraged at the hypocrisy.
but this is what it comes down to. We're not outraged. No. Let it happen. Let it roll, because we understand what the hell's going on here, and nobody's going to be hurt physically by it. But then on the other hand, this is the reason why I would never want to see Brian Stelter pulled from the air. He provides me too much entertainment.
Yeah.
The hell with it.
I wanted to play the clip of him and her responding so that people could hear how blatantly obvious it was that she understood and recognized what he said, and then play her pandering apology. where she pretends she didn't hear what he said.
Right.
What do you say?
Right. Hey, go ahead.
Why not? We got 4 minutes. We might as well do it. Here we go.
Makes sense. What happened to people of color? So I don't buy that argument that impeachment does not make sense, Senate will acquit. I don't buy that argument. There needs to be accountability. I mean, what are you going to do in the next 1 year to diminish the mentally retarded action of this guy?
Well said. Well said.
Nanali, first of all, I've seen the well said thing right there. She's one person in a sea of clapping seal idiots that loved it. Everybody there, everybody at that event, you would have to safely assume are going to be voting Democrat in 2020. And they all hooted and hollered like clapping seals at the jab at the president. There was no boo there. There was no hissing.
No.
So, I mean, the fact that Kamala Harris instantly gauged the energy in the room and gave him a little bit of a hat tip for the nice little swipe at the president. Why the hell is she taking all the heat? It's not like she went up against the room.
She's taking all the heat because she is the candidate right. who is supposed to be best representing the tyrannical progressive left. And you cannot do that if you do not pander to the victim classes that have been set up within it. That's why.
Yeah.
You must pander, Frank. Right. You must be pandering. Always, always. Like, there was somebody, I forget who it is, that played the... There was something I watched. I think it was Steven Crowder who was talking about the Dave Chappelle special where he talks about the alphabet people.
Yeah.
And how much power they have, and then played the CEO of YouTube or Google apologizing to a member of this community, groveling on her knees, basically about how poor of a job they've done protecting them, and all. And it's absolutely mind blowing. Like for victims who are oppressed and put at the bottom of the barrel in society, as they say, they sure do wield a big stick of power.
Oh yeah, well, this is the brilliance of storytelling in Star Wars as well too. If you really take a look at, everybody craps all over the prequels, but we're looking at a situation where victimhood. This is what happens when victimhood shows opportunity for power. And why I bring up Star Wars is because who becomes Emperor Palpatine was just a senator from a small planet called Naboo, saw an opportunity for power in victimhood. So much so that he made himself and his home planet a victim by financing a war, an invasion against his own home planet, so that he can go and not only launch a campaign into the chancellorship, but then turn that into an empire with him as the emperor, a victim. Now, it's really, really telling as far as what the human condition and what we have seen popped up in geopolitics all along the way of our species development. Victimhood. It's so much. There's so much there to be claimed. That is the reason why you should never give it this much power, because then it's so easy for somebody to say, hey, all I got to do is be a victim. And I think I can make a run at this.
And then the people who are actually victims of things like this, where are they? They're in the corner being yelled at for not being, you know, the right kind of victim at the right time. It's a crazy devolvement from a certain class of people on this group of people in this country. They're devolving. They're going backwards. And that's it for today. Damn it.
Yep. That's it.
Sit. Sit, as you would say. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
I Survived Escargot Val.
Which is great. And Beans. You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. Make sure to check out the show. Make sure to subscribe to it. Make sure to leave reviews, because there's one place I'll be if they cut me off. And this is it. We'll talk to you soon.
Good. No, it's a good little bunker to be in too.
It is, because they're generally, you can talk on podcasts, generally. Generally. See you guys on Wednesday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.